What? Up next,
Sarah Schieber.
Woo!
So Sarah told this story at Challengers when we did our show there, but it didn't get on the podcast because it was the audio was kind of bad. But I don't think most of you guys have heard this yet anyway, so it's new to you.
Yay. Woo. Woo.
So, like Eric said, I first told this story at the mobile show at the comic book thing, so sorry if this is a repeat for anyone. I took the theme of revelry a little bit more traditionally in thinking about this, I guess. And what came to mind for me was the first time I met Neil Gaiman. This is kind of a bit of a backstory to this, is Neil is my favorite author. Yes, we're on a first-name basis. I got started reading Sandman, and that was how I really got into Neil, and then I read his novels and things like that. And sophomore year of college, I went to study abroad near Liverpool. In my mind, this, for some reason, meant, oh, I'm going to England. I'm probably going to meet Neil Gaiman. Just like, sure. And while I was over there, I found out he was doing a tour in America. I was super upset because I had gone all the way across the Atlantic Ocean and he was going to be at the theater in my hometown. So here I am feeling all upset about this, and I find out he's also going to be at University of Manchester a month later, which is much more doable for me at that time, and it's in England, so it makes me feel like I'm cool. So so I decide to go, and I hadn't really been super well-versed in the trains at that time in Britain, and so I had a friend who lived in my hall with me who was like, oh, I'll go with you. I'm British. I know how it works. It'll be fine. So the time comes. It's time to go, and we buy our tickets and everything, and I keep knocking on his door, and he doesn't answer, and like, an hour goes by, and I'm getting more and more antsy because it's time to go meet Neil. And just as I'm just like, I can't wait anymore, he fell asleep, by the way. It wasn't like he was in some sort of, like, accident or something happened. He just fell asleep. So he just wasn't answering his door, and I finally was like, that's it. I just have to go. So I kind of went and looked online really quick because this is before Google Maps on the iPhone, which has been a great help to me as someone who can get lost with the GPS. And I went to just make sure there would be like a train for me to come back. And there were quite a few scheduled out of the station where I was going to be going in. So I was like, okay, that's fine. And that was enough for me. I didn't really understand the rest of the website. So I just went and sort of just got on a train. I knew how to get to Liverpool. Managed to get out to Manchester just fine, and then did not know where to go once I got there. So I kind of hung out a little bit in the station, trying to see which ways people were going. Like, if they looked like business people, they were going one way. And if they looked more like me, and like, you know, kind of college-y, I guess, they were going the other way. So I went that way. And managed to follow someone who I had somehow decided looked like a Neil Gaiman fan. And she brought me right to the place. So good job for me on visual stereo. And I went and got a seat and everything. And it was awesome, guys. Neil is great. It turned out the same night, Jonathan Coulton and Pauline Storm were also at University of Manchester. I don't know if anyone knows.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And Neil had talked to them, and they decided to also, like, sing a couple songs before Neil started talking. So it was like, yeah, that's right. Whole big thing. So, and I was so excited. I brought my journal, and in case you thought I might make this up, I took notes during Neil Gaiman's talk, because I didn't want to forget anything he said. Yeah, those are them. I don't know what they mean anymore, so it didn't work. Yeah, things like love being all over the place. Bright bookshops. I don't know what that means anymore. But afterwards, I decided to go and get in the line to, like, actually go and get your book signed because I was already there and it was awesome. And Neil was so fantastic. So I was so, like, drunk on gaming, I guess, that I was not paying attention to the time at all. I did end up getting to meet him, and he even drew in my journal, just so you know how awesome I am, guys. And after that whole thing, I was kind of in a daze, and I sort of wandered to the station, where it quickly became apparent to me no one had bothered to tell me the British affinity for canceling trains without telling anyone. So there were no more trains going to Liverpool that night until like 9 a.m. the next morning. And I had kind of skipped out on writing a paper in order to go to this thing. So I was going to possibly fail half of my grade for this class. And besides that, I had no idea really where I was. I knew I was in Manchester and like that was a place. But like, I didn't really know what was going on. So I kind of like went and found like one of the train station people and was like, "Hi, I'm American. Help me, please." And he was like on his little computer, and I was like, "Where are you trying to go?" "I'm trying to get to Liverpool." And he kind of looks at me and he's like, "You're never gonna make it." And I'm like terrified. And he sees my face, and he keeps looking. And he's, "Okay, there's one train. It's across town at this other station. But if you take a cab, you can get there." "Okay, great. That's a lot better than you're never going to get there." So I go and I jump in a cab and I get to the station. Like, the train isn't even there yet. It's great. I calm down. I decide to write more about Neil Gaiman in my journal because I'm a nerd. And it's really quiet. And all of a sudden, I hear all this yelling. And I look over where the entrance to the station was, and there was like this just slew of football fans just like coming and invading the platform. And like they were all super drunk, which is where revelry comes in. And they were just like, they were chanting, and I understand what they were saying. I think like it was a player's name or something, and like obviously something about soccer, but whatever. So I'm like, well, this is gonna be fun. Does anyone know if like that was Manchester United? Maybe. Yeah, okay. That's my guess.
Yeah. Wait, on the same train you're going on?
Well, not the team, just the fans.
Yeah, it was probably Liverpool fans that they beat one of those jerks.
I still don't actually know like what was going on, but I know that there was a game and they were really excited, and well, they were English, so they were drunk. And we get on the train, and it just like doesn't stop. It just keeps getting louder, and I'm like in the corner with these two other old people, and they're like, "Ugh, youths." And and I'm like guarding my book signed by Neil Gaiman because they're basically gold, and I'm like, "Wow, this is just like complete opposite ends of the world here." And then I was thinking about it, and it actually wasn't really all that different. And I wrote this part down. So, because really, in the end, we were kind of the same, because we were all experiencing, like, some sort of celebration. But instead of shouting out a series of unenunciated syllables, I was writing in a journal, and just sort of, like, staring at my signatures from Neil Gaiman and my drawing from him periodically and being really excited about it. But with every slurred exclamation of celebratory fervor that these folks were emitting into the general train space, they were kind of mirroring my own introverted feelings of joy in their own way. And I kind of thought it was nice to make that connection that even though it can be two completely different things, everyone is still just like celebrating something. And that's nice.
Thank you, Sarah. If you talk to your buddy Neil, would you let him know that instead of going out last night, I stayed home to read the last two issues of Sandman and cried?
And if you could tell him to come to one of these, too.
Yeah. Fun trivia. So, Bill Hader credits his being on SNL with the Sandman because he was reading Sandman on his flight to New York to audition for Lorne. And the character of Lucien, he was reading as, oh my god, who is the 1930s horror guy he does the talk show of? Vincent Price. He was reading Lucien as Vincent Price in his head, and when Lorne asked him, what impressions can you do, Sandman's Lucien was in his head, and he's like, well, I can do Vincent Price, and that's what got him the job on SNL. So, yeah.